You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 332.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for the coffee.
Oh, you're welcome.
By the way, Cornflake supplied the coffee today.
I knew that you were going to be beat having just come back from Dragon Con.
I'm still in Dragon Con recovery mode.
So I thought I'd pick up a little bit of the slack and make us some cold brew that also ensures I may have had a bit of a selfish motive here.
I suspect what the ulterior motive was.
Fall is around the corner, and I know that cold coffee goes away in the fall, so maybe if I just keep supplying it.
You knew it. You showed up at the door to the studio with your own stash of iced coffee, fearing that I would have already made the switch back to the hot coffee.
I refer to the flavor of the coffee as delicious manipulation.
It is delicious. And manipulative. It's both. Why not be both?
It's delicious, right? And manipulative. Yeah, it's cold brew with coffee cubes. It tastes really good with the coffee cubes.
Yeah, we've got the coffee cubes here. They went nicely with your cold brew, which I'd never sampled before. So nice job.
Thank you.
So we're all full of coffee. We're ready to go. I think it's going to be a short show today. It's got to be shorter than last week.
It really needs to be.
It's got to be a lot shorter than last week.
I think people are still listening to last week's show at this point.
So you might have to listen to both shows at the same time.
Yep.
Just to pack them all in. You know what? Let's get started with National Whatever Day.
You know, we almost ended up with a couple of beverages in the house for this week's show. Not just cold brew, but right around this time of year is one of those excuses to have booze. It's National Grenache Day.
Grenache.
What is,
I don't know what that is.
It is a red wine, which I enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah. Are you saying we could be having wine right now, but we're not?
It's kind of gone.
Oh, there was wine. I thought this was hypothetical wine, but no, this is actual wine that used to exist and no longer does. Okay. Well, now I'm even sadder.
I'm sorry. So let's just forget about National Grenache Day.
Pretend I did not say that.
And talk instead about Elephant Appreciation Day.
Oh, okay.
Switch gears. Because it's not like I would have brought any elephants anyway.
Is the elephant
anyway.
Gone too?
There were no elephants to be had.
Who do you think drank all the wine?
Elephant Appreciation Day is September 22nd.
All right.
And I don't know about you, but I appreciate a good elephant.
Oh, absolutely.
What I think of when I think of Elephant Appreciation Day is all of the elephants in pop culture, particularly.
Yeah.
There's some great cartoon elephants.
We've never done an elephant list, have we?
We haven't.
Yeah, but let's try to knock out a few right now then. Which elephants are you thinking of?
The elephants in the Sandra Boynton cartoons.
The what?
Sandra Boynton. She does cute animal cartoons, and sometimes they're elephants.
Okay, not familiar.
I don't know if she was the artist that did this. There's another artist that did an illustration of an elephant that's just flat out down on its tummy, and there's turkeys standing on it and around it. And this is, I think, of you, because we're always talking about turkeys here on the show.
This was an early primitive form of turksting.
Yes.
Where an elephant would just scoop up a turkey with its trunk and just hurl it to another elephant. And that's how they would communicate.
And this was on my favorite coffee mug as a kid. It's this elephant with surrounded by the turkeys. And the phrase on the mug says, "Don't let the turkeys get you down." So that's one of my all-time favorite elephants.
I've not seen that one. I was thinking of Babar. Remember Babar?
Oh, of course.
That's one of your classic cartoon elephants, right?
And then there's Dumbo.
Yep.
And Horton. Horton, here's a who?
I forgot about Horton.
From Dr. Seuss.
Horton was an elephant as well, yeah.
And Mr. Pachydermus from Mighty Magiswords, he's the landlord for the Warriors for Hire.
Sure.
But they're neat, so appreciate them.
Well, I mean, we should say they're in trouble. That's running true. Out of them. We've got to protect them, appreciate them.
Treat them well.
A lot of us owe them money. Pay them back.
Right.
Please. They have expenses too.
Oh, absolutely. I've gotten lately into the comedy of Peter Serafinowicz,
yep,
currently playing the Tick on Amazon Prime's exclusive.
Wow.
For Tick? What?
This suddenly sounds like a sponsored.
How else do I?
Are you reading copy from some paid advertisement that I don't know about and I'm not getting a piece of? So,
there's some great shows on Amazon Prime, is my point.
Slid right into it.
We've known this for quite some time, right? Because we knew about Red Oaks, and it seems like nobody else knows about the TV show Red Oaks that you only see on Amazon Prime. But The Tick is also on there, and I'm eagerly awaiting season two.
Yeah.
And
this year, The Tick stars an elephant.
That's what one would hope. But Peter Serafinowicz also has his own comedy show, or did, and I'm huge into British comedy, as you know. And he has a sketch about elephants and trains. Remember how we were reading the Dynamite magazine recently with the horses in it, and everybody loves horses, and that's why they... So he makes a spoof on that about how everybody loves elephants and trains, and now there's a magazine available, and it's all about elephants and trains. And I love weird things. So I'm just going to put that 28-second YouTube video on repeat, and that's how I'm going to celebrate Elephant Appreciation
Day. Sounds good.
You know where I might have seen an elephant? If they had had one?
Yeah.
I went to York's Wild Animal Kingdom recently.
Is that a zoo?
It was a zoo and an amusement park. It's the only one in New England like that. It's so, two in one.
Elephants riding on roller coasters and whatnot?
And in the bumper cars.
Sure.
You never want to encounter.
Oh, they must go flying out of those stupid cars.
An elephant in a bumper car.
So it's a zoo and it's an amusement park.
Yes.
You do it all.
All in one.
You were just out, is this in Maine?
This is up in York, Maine, one of my favorite places to be. They don't have elephants, but there were a few things that I saw that made me think of you. I came around the corner at one point, and I saw a capybara.
Oh, sure. Those are the best.
It was kind of off to the back of its enclosure.
Yeah, you know I'm a fan.
And as I came around the corner and saw it, it walked right toward me, and I thought, oh, this is so great, but don't you have any friends? And I felt so bad. There weren't any other capybaras around.
So you just have the one.
But I came back later, and there was three. And I thought, what if I just keep coming back?
Where'd those other two come from?
I don't know. But if I just kept coming back and there were more and more capybaras, wouldn't that be the neatest trick?
It's the world's largest rodent.
It is.
They come from South America. They're remarkable.
They're very chill.
Oh, yeah. They hang out. They relax. They swim. They like to go in the water.
And they had water in their enclosure.
Oh, good. So you spent some quality time.
With some capybaras. With the capybara. And then I rounded another corner, and there was an interesting critter known as a go-away bird. Do you know about these?
I don't know this bird.
There is such a bird as a go-away bird, but it stayed where it was. So it was kind of inaccurately named.
Right.
And
is it like 8 feet tall? What size are we talking about?
A little bit smaller than a chicken.
Oh, that's okay. That's pretty small.
Somewhat crow-like, although different colors.
How tall is a chicken? They're about 8 feet tall, though, right?
Yeah, the ones that I see
a nice big
on a
chicken.
Day-to-day basis,
yeah.
Approximately 8 feet
tall. I might mostly see dudes in chicken suits, but they count. So the go-away bird is small,
yes,
relatively speaking,
yes,
and it stays right where it is. It will not go away. Were you screaming at it?
I was, and they pulled
me. Get out of here.
They pulled me away.
There's the door, go-away bird.
The go-away bird didn't move.
Wow.
I think they might have had the wrong name on that cage.
Perhaps it's so named because, like me, it wants everyone else to go away. See?
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, call how you look at it.
Well, there
now
was...
I feel like I found a kindred spirit.
I think I need to introduce you to the go-away bird.
We would get along famously, even though we would both secretly wish the other would leave the room.
Because there was another bird in the zoo that absolutely did want people to go away.
Mm.
There was a crazed peacock, Kevin.
Oh, sure. Yeah, those are nuts.
They're beautiful birds.
Yes.
But they are. They're right out of their peacock minds.
Yeah. I saw one of those just in the wild in Florida. The wild being a residential neighborhood that at the time was headquarters to the James Randi Educational Foundation. The neighborhood just had a wandering peacock. And I watched the amazing Randy shuffle outside with some food, some birdseed, and feed the peacock. It was magical.
There were a number of peacocks in this one enclosure that you could walk into. So you could walk in and be with the peacocks.
Yeah, but you cannot come back out.
No, you couldn't, because there was one peacock in particular that was standing
in
guard.
In charge of murdering everyone.
Yes.
That's great.
It kept getting up on top of the gazebo that was in the enclosure, looking down at everybody, screaming at everybody.
Sure.
And then occasionally just dive bombing people.
Wow.
And I thought it was funny.
People went in? Did you go in?
I did, but the kids were terrified.
Yeah.
Well, see, people were running away screaming, and I was like, oh, look at the bird!
I don't think they should even allow kids at this kind of place.
Probably not.
That's me. I'm practically a go-away bird.
They also have a butterfly kingdom at this particular zoo, mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's the deal where you walk into an enclosed thing.
And there's butterflies
and just
everywhere.
All around you. Yeah.
Invading your personal space. I don't think you'd like it
very
much.
They'll land on you. I've been in one of those places once or twice.
And you tolerated it.
Not my kind of place.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, there's bugs landing on you, but it's not Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
It's true.
It's tolerable.
And
So you did the butterflies.
I saw the butterflies, okay. And I...
Now, how many did you get? I knew you're not supposed to take them out, but how many did you secretly get?
Oh, 6 or 7.
There you go.
I can't resist. I am absolutely a butterfly thief.
Yes. I have a friend who's been hatching butterflies.
How does that go?
She seems to know what she's doing. She's been posting photos and video and stuff online. She's growing butterflies and releasing them. I'm not sure what her end game is, but I'm sure she's up to no good somehow. This is not going to end well, but it's very cool.
Well, whatever she's doing, I want to help.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. I think she's in Maine, actually.
Huh.
Yeah.
Among other things I saw, zebras, yep. Ostriches.
That's a zoo.
Yeah. Kangaroo or two.
What if it wasn't a zoo? That's a weird day at that point.
What if all these animals
just happened
had
to
just
be around?
Gathered?
Yeah. What are they up to?
Well, it seems like there were some animals that were there that weren't regular members of the zoo family.
Nobody knows where they came from.
I certainly didn't know where they came from because I was driving away. And what should appear before me? Turkeys.
You got turkeys.
I got to see capybaras and turkeys all in the same day, Kevin.
Yeah, those are two of our favorite things.
They just strutted right out, said hello to us, and then they made like go-away birds and they left.
Always good to see a turkey.
Yes. So I highly recommend York's Wild Animal Kingdom. The amusement park is something like a permanent carnival.
Yeah. So did you go to that part of it as well? Do the rides and carnival junk?
I did, briefly. They've also got
a freak show? Did you see freaks?
There were no freaks. There is.
Was it 1962?
There's mini golf, which is almost as good as freaks.
Almost.
But they have
That's
not,
how they advertise it.
They have not one, but two bounce houses. So yeah. I kind of was all about those. But
you tried them both?
Well, they wouldn't let me. I was too tall.
Oh.
But I wanted to.
Sure.
And that part, the amusement park, it's okay, but it's mm-hmm. no big deal. The zoo part, though, is one of the coolest zoos around, and that's where I spend most of my days.
Okay.
If you need to get your capybara fix and maybe get some bonus turkeys at the end, I can highly recommend York's Wild Animal Kingdom.
Fried dough? Do they have fried dough?
Yeah, they do. It's the best deal in the park, too.
Really?
Yeah, like, because everything
it's good
else...
and it's good for you.
Most of the places where they were selling the food were in the amusement park place. But you could have your lunch among the zoo creatures if you wanted to.
Yeah. Why not be surrounded by disgusting nature when you're trying to enjoy a meal, I say. I've not had any fried dough in a long time.
Okay, well, if...
That's dangerous stuff.
It's true. Don't take $5 with you to York's Wild Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because everything else is... It's so expensive.
They charge more for everything else.
Everything
the fried
else,
dough...
They just give it to you.
$5.
Yep.
They really want you to slowly kill yourself with fried dough.
I had held back all summer. I go to the beach all the time. And the beach, in the summer, at least around these parts, there's always...
Is there fried dough on the beach?
Everywhere, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't go to the beach.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Notice you never see me on a beach.
I go to the beach a lot myself, and I had held back all summer, but I had me some $5
well,
fried dough.
You know, once in a while, why not?
Yeah, maybe once a year tops.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff, not such a good deal, I think. The snow cone.
Oh, yeah.
Not good.
I can shake myself some ice at
home. A snow cone is a great looking item.
But what is it?
You lose something in the execution. Yeah,
yes.
You realize this was an $8 block of ice.
Right.
And it's stupid.
I can put some sugar on some ice at home if I want.
The candy apple.
Oh,
big mistake.
Yeah.
Those are lousy.
Messy as all get up.
Beautiful. They're glowing. That deep, shiny red. And you say, "Wow, look at that."
No. Caramel's good. Apple's good.
Caramel apple. But the classic candy apple is always a mistake.
If you value your teeth.
Yes.
Don't do it.
It's not for the toothed among us.
I have to be particularly careful with my teeth.
Yeah.
Because I've busted them before.
That's true.
I'm not going to do it again on a candy apple.
I can vouch for that. Yeah, so you stuck with the fried dough. Anything else? They have other weird main things up there that I wouldn't even know about. They must have lobster rolls going, right?
Lobster flavored kettle corn. No, they actually didn't have that.
Do they have
the
Lay's all new lobster roll flavored potato chips?
They were sadly lacking.
I just had some more of those last night, by the way.
You still have those? Are they okay?
Not the original bag.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a second bag.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You're hooked.
I had a bunch last night. I only had one on the show. I've had several more since, I must admit. They are delicious.
Can't believe you went out and got more of those.
Oh, yeah. Had to do it.
Wow.
But are there other weird main foods that you've encountered up there?
Not weird, but if you like saltwater taffy,
yeah,
which is a take or leave sort of treat at the beach, like it's not dangerous. You can have a couple and not make a big mess, but it's all sugar.
Saltwater taffy, it's all sugar. It's, again, very bad for your teeth. It's so chewy and sticky. But on the other hand, it's horrible and stupid.
I like it.
No, come on. Nobody likes saltwater. It's so stupid. This is like they hadn't quite figured out how candy works yet when some poor soul invented saltwater taffy 800 years ago. And now it's still around as like a nostalgic thing.
Oh, yeah.
And also, where is it from? Because any touristy spot in the universe offers a box of saltwater taffy as if it's a special thing from this spot. But it's everywhere and it's awful.
At the Goldenrod, you watch them make it. They have all the machines make it.
The pulling thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's fun. I would watch it being made, but then I would run away as soon as it was offered to me.
Oh, it's the only place I get saltwater taffy is at the Goldenrod.
Have you detected a quality difference from one place to another?
Oh, yes.
Wow, so you're a super taster.
If you're gonna
all just sticky, sugary glop to me.
If you're going to get glop, get it at the Goldenrod, because no other place around compares. And even if you're not eating it, it is pretty fun to watch it.
Do they offer a lobster-flavored taffy?
I keep waiting for them to.
They have to partner with Lay's.
What other crazy foods are there? There's always beach pizza, which I think is...
Beach pizza?
Beach pizza.
Is that a special kind of pizza, or is it just pizza on the beach?
So you've got your pizza parlors that make your standard circle pie that everyone takes a slice out of.
Sure. I know how pizza works.
Until you get to the beach.
I thought I did. Yeah,
works differently.
What's beach pizza?
At the beach. It's commonly square.
Okay.
It's a little more like Elio's pizza than something you get at a pizza parlor. And I think, they can make it really fast. So you line up, you get your pizza super quick. You don't have to sit down and wait for it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the quality is lacking. But it's okay because it's beach pizza.
Yeah. And you just set it in the water and watch it float out to sea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It handles the waves pretty well.
That works. Or hop right up on it and do a little surfing like Greg Brady.
And people fight over on the seacoast near where we are. So, northern Massachusetts, New Hampshire, up into Maine.
Yeah.
People argue over whether Tripoli's or Christie's is better. There's a bit of a beach pizza rivalry.
Now what's on it? Is there something different on it?
No. It's regular. You can get different kinds of cheese, which is another weird thing. You can specify whether you want mozzarella or provolone.
Yeah, or just a fistful of sand.
That's usually what gets on peach pizza.
Ultimately,
whether you
it's
want
a slice
it there
of sand pizza
or not.
Because I just realized I'm standing on a disgusting beach with
but none
my
of it
slice.
Is- None of it is good. None of it is good.
You've yet to find a good slice of beach
pizza.
People argue
over which one is better out of two not good things.
At Dragon Con, I know we didn't talk quite enough about Dragon Con last week, did we?
Okay. Yeah.
Get
did you see the look of horror on my face?
This will be another 90 minutes. Everybody get comfortable. No, at the Dragon Con hotels, the Papa John's Pizza, big pizza chain, they set up little stands throughout the hotel. So there's like little Papa John pizza booths everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard to avoid. You can suddenly realize, oh, I'm starving. I just realized it's been 11 hours since I ate. And look at that. There's Papa John's Pizza. And suddenly you're dying for pizza, and that's how they get you. That's how they get you. So I was very proud that this year I did not have a slice of pizza from these stupid pizza booths. I walked right by them every time.
Awesome.
Early in the weekend, I'm going to quote my friend Sue. Sue said at Dragon Con, she was talking about food, how to get food at Dragon Con. And she said, by the way, don't eat the racist pizza.
Yeah.
Don't eat the homophobic chicken.
Steer clear of Papa John's and Chick-fil-A.
Those are words to live by. The homophobic chicken. I loved it. But you were up in Maine, the wilds of Maine.
Creeping around.
That was your adventure in Maine with zoo animals and freaky beach pizza.
Yes.
Outstanding.
And a lot of jumping around in the ocean like I do.
Excellent. I had something, a little freaky adventure of my own recently, but not that recently, because this is pre-DragonCon. We just never had a chance to talk about it on the show.
Do you even remember what life was like before DragonCon?
Barely. But this is the weekend before DragonCon. This was wildly inconvenient. I was very busy in the week before DragonCon. I had several things to do, and I did not have the time to do any of it, but I did it anyway because I was in DragonCon prep mode, you know? But all this stuff happened to fall right before DragonCon. I had a high school reunion. I did my reunion, you know, went and saw the kids from school.
How are they all doing?
They're good. I have a good-looking class.
Oh.
Yeah, these are...
Wow.
The girls in my class, beautiful, beautiful women today. Mm-hmm. Still. My high school yearbook has the best hair in hair history.
Wow.
Because it was late 80s.
Piled so high it goes right off the page.
Oh, it's magnificent. But yeah. Lovely people. So had a nice time at my weird high school reunion, seeing everybody. That was fine. But that was right before DragonCon. And then we had Riff Tracks live. Crawl. We went to see Riff Tracks do Crawl again right before DragonCon. And then, worst of all, we left town. We had to go out of town, tied up the whole weekend right before I left for DragonCon.
Whoa.
And that was because, and you've done this, you've gone out of state. You've gone all the way up to Maine to see a concert.
I've also gone to Albany.
You went all the way to Albany as well.
Yes.
For a concert. And I've done this too. I went to Buffalo to see a concert once. I went to Philadelphia to see a concert many years ago. And a couple of weeks ago, once again, we went to Philadelphia. I road tripped all the way back down to Philadelphia for a concert because Cornflake, one band I've never seen and we always hoped we could see, is the Electric Light Orchestra.
I can see what you travel for.
So that's capping off a long summer of going to goofy retro concerts. Electric Light Orchestra. And this is the real guy. This is Jeff Lynne. And Jeff Lynne just would not tour for years and years and years. And just last year, he was finally inducted into the Hall of Fame.
High time.
He was the final Wilbury to get inducted. All of the traveling Wilburys are now officially in the Hall of Fame.
He did a ton of work with Tom Petty.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he produced and wrote and all that stuff a lot with all those guys. Worked with Dylan and with Petty and all those Wilburys. George Harrison, of course, and Roy Orbison. A couple of years ago, Jeff Lynne finally started performing again, and he did just a handful of performances. He did a show in New York, and he did a show in Los Angeles, and a show in England. This year, for the first time since the 80s, he did an actual tour with the Electric Light Orchestra. And not a very extensive tour, but he did a handful of dates in Europe and just a handful in America. Did not come up here to Massachusetts. Otherwise, would have saved us a lot of time and trouble. You know? There was no Boston date on the tour. There was a couple of New York dates, I think, and Philadelphia. So we decided, let's do the Philadelphia show. So off we go. A long, miserable drive to Philadelphia.
Was the weather bad?
It was just traffic. Really bad traffic the whole way. So that was annoying. Because I road trip to Philadelphia last summer, remember? With Ken?
Mm-hmm.
Ken Reed had a TV guidance counselor live show to do. And I just tagged along with Ken for no good reason.
If you go with the right time of day, it's not too bad.
It all depends. You never know. Yeah, we got down without much trouble for that. And yeah, last July, Ken and I just shot down to Philadelphia. Ken did a show, did a live TV guidance counselor. And then we just came flying right back up here.
Because Ken Reed was all like, I bet nobody wants to go with me, right?
And then... Yeah, I'm like, Ken, you have no idea how little I have to do.
Right.
Shove over. I'm climbing in.
Shotgun.
That's right. Off we go. So this was the mayor and I this time went down through the traffic to Philadelphia. And we were not the only ones doing this, though, because Mike Faber, director of the ESO Network, Atlanta-based, you know, he's all the way down in Georgia. Mike and Judy, they came all the way up from Atlanta.
They trucked on up from Atlanta.
And met us. They didn't drive the whole way. I think they flew part way, drove the rest of the way. But we met the Fabers to go to this ELO show as well. So even though I'd be seeing them a few days later down in Atlanta for DragonCon, but we had a little pre-DragonCon meetup in Philadelphia, oddly enough. Kind of neutral ground between Chickentown and Atlanta.
I bet he definitely was feeling the time crunch as well.
And the Fabers had seen ELO a couple of years ago. They actually flew out to the Los Angeles show couple of years back and wanted to see them again. So we met with Mike and Judy, and actually Mike's sister Cheryl and her husband Dell as well. So I think it was the six of us met at a deli, like one of those super old-timey Jewish delis, you know, for dinner in Philadelphia. That was really nice. Have you had dinner at one of these delis? Like a real serious, no fooling around deli?
There are a few over in Brookline.
There are a handful. Yes, yes.
Zaftig's is one that I think of.
That's the big famous one in Boston is Zaftig's. There you go. So you know this kind of place. And they're great.
You get whatever you want.
It's insane. This wonderful waitress that we had, people would place their order and then she would have to talk you down. She'd have to explain the size of what was going to arrive at the table.
Right. The massive portion will break the table.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
The portions at these places, these delis. And yes, there were at least three people's orders, three or four orders. She had to say, no, 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 we can't do this. She was like, let me explain the size of what's going to arrive at this table. You can't, let's please do this instead. And so even after talking everybody down, it was still...
mounds of food.
Just stupid amount of food arrives at the table. I ordered a salad. My dinner was a salad.
And they brought you an entire patch of lettuce.
It was a salad for 30. This platter arrives. It was just ridiculous.
Catering version of salad.
Yeah. I was the light eater at the table. And I had this massive, insane, here's a salad to cater a party of 20 people with. But very nice time with the Fabers and their people. That was lovely. And then we all made our way over to the arena where ELO was playing. And I didn't realize this, but Philadelphia clusters all their major sports venues into one little neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like just outside of downtown Philadelphia, just off the side of the highway, is the football stadium and the baseball stadium and the arena where they do hockey and basketball. They're all just right next to each other.
What could possibly go wrong?
Which I guess it makes sense. As long as you've worked out your traffic flow properly, which I don't know if they did or not, because it took a long time to get in and park.
Because those sports tend to have their seasons, and there's a little bit of overlap.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, though, that I think, as opposed to like Boston, where they just kind of squished the Boston Garden into a neighborhood, and Fenway Park is just squished into another neighborhood. And it's nice, it's cool, and they have their character, but zero logic went into where to put the baseball park in Boston, because it's just stuffed into the middle of everything. But we love it. That's why there's a Green Monster.
That's right.
The Green Monster is there because there's a street right behind it. Because they just shoehorned that park into that block. Anyway, we go see ELO. There's an opening band called Dawes, I think. Do you know this band?
I love Dawes.
Yes, they were opening.
Really?
I didn't know anything about them.
Did you get to see them then?
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you think?
Okay, it seemed a little country rock, sort of. Not really my thing, but they're fine. I wouldn't seek them out.
I enjoy them quite a bit.
Yeah, I understand they're quite popular.
Yes. I thought they were done. I actually thought they were done performing as a band. So
maybe I saw a Dawes tribute band. I don't know. It might have been a fake Dawes. They were all wearing big freaky masks. It might have been Gwar. I might have seen Gwar. I'm sorry. So ELO comes out, and it's that guy. There's Jeff Lynne. You know,
legend. Oh, yes,
and sounds fantastic. I don't know how old he is. In his 70s, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yikes, what a band he has assembled. Because Jeff Lynne is a sound guy. He's a perfectionist. And I think that was part of his hesitance to perform for years was, how can we get that sound live on stage?
Right.
So he's put together the band that can do that.
He's kind of like Enya.
He's like Enya, yeah. That's how you would describe Electric Light Orchestra. Well, yeah, they're like Enya.
Well, in that it's difficult to get that kind of sound on stage.
Yeah, it's hard to sound like Enya on stage. It is. But so he has a huge band. I cannot remember how many people were on stage, but it was maybe 14 or so, I think. Like three keyboardists, I believe. And backup singers and two cellists and a lady on a violin. And one of the keyboardists has the voice synthesizer thing going, so you can sing and do those robot-y kind of sounding synthesized voices.
You need that for Mr. Blue Sky.
Absolutely. So they've got the full ELO sound going and big screens behind them for visuals and stuff. He really concentrated on the 70s classics of ELO. The mid-80s stuff, they didn't do. They did not do Rock and Roll is King. Uh-huh. They did not do Hold On Tight to Your Dreams, which is an important song for us because that's the song they used to play in the Be a Coffee Achiever commercials. Mm-hmm. Like, hey kids, drink coffee while you listen to ELO sing Hold On Tight to Your Dreams, your coffee dreams. evidently.
That's what all of my dreams are made of.
Do you remember those? I think we've talked about them on the show, these freaky ads that were kind of pushing coffee like...
on kids.
Like it was cocaine. It was like, coffee calms you down and picks you up. And they're showing football players and rock stars running around with their coffee.
I don't remember the commercials, but I feel like I remember the influence.
Yeah, I think we might have talked about this on the Flopcast, yes. But years ago. But we'll have to look up those videos again. They're on YouTube, I think, and they're really funny. The old Be a Coffee Achiever commercials featuring the music of ELO. But they did not play the coffee song. But they did almost everything else. They did one song from Xanadu. They did All Over the World from Xanadu. So that was cool. Because we love Xanadu.
That we do.
And one of the highlights of the show... and a surprise, I did not expect that they were going to do this, but they did one of the big hit Traveling Wilburys songs. He said, I'm going to do a song from my other band now. And they played Handle With Care. Which wow. Jeff Lynne did not sing lead on that. That was George Harrison lead, yeah. but Jeff sings the George Harrison lead part on that. And he has a guy, his backup singer, does a great Roy Orbison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they had people doing the, you know, the backup parts really nicely. And they had images of all the guys, all the Wilburys were coming up on the screen. So that really turned into like this emotional high point of the show, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, just hearing about it.
Getting chills just thinking about it.
Marveling.
Yeah, so that was outstanding. We lost all track of the Fabers. We were not all seated together, so I didn't actually see them at the show. I just knew that they were back up there in the massive crowd somewhere. But it was such a cool show to be at, and nice to be in that venue. It was nice to go down to Philadelphia. A lovely night with ELO. Swept back to the disco era.
How did they close out the show?
They closed it with Making Love Out of Nothing at All, the Bonnie Tyler version. And they pulled me up on stage to lip sync the whole thing. That was beautiful.
It's like they knew what was coming.
The next day, we had another little reunion with some other friends, because we have Philadelphia area people. And they were not able to join us at the show, but we were able to meet up for a little brunch the next day, so that was cool. And these are all people that I know from like the old small press scene back in the 90s. And that's my friend Maria and my other friends Rich and Donna, a married couple. And I love these people, and I hardly ever get to see them, so it was really nice that we were all able to just hook up and hang out for a few hours the following morning. We were mostly talking music the whole time, because they're all, you know, super fans of all the old music the way we are. Rich especially, I think, is really an expert on all music of the 70s and 80s and all that stuff that we love. Rich has stories about going to concerts around Philadelphia in the 80s. Like he saw Elvis Costello and the Attractions playing at a stadium in Philadelphia back in the 80s. Rich was at Live Aid. So, you know, yes. Rich wins. He can tell you about going to Live Aid in Philadelphia in 1985.
Him and Howard Jones.
Howard Jones was at Live Aid. Although I think was Howard in London? Because yeah. Live Aid was two locations. Remember, simultaneously.
He was in London.
They were bouncing back and forth between Philadelphia and London.
Howard Jones has some great stories about being in London.
I remember him talking about Live Aid when we saw him and talking about he was riding in a helicopter with Queen.
Yes. So, Howard Jones wins Live Aid London.
Yes.
Rich wins Live Aid US.
Absolutely. And Phil Collins wins both, because Phil Collins did both, remember?
Yes.
He played at one, got on a plane, showed up later that same day and performed at the other location.
Because he's Phil Collins.
He's Phil Collins, he can do whatever he wants. And when Rich showed up for brunch, he brought gifts for us. I brought nothing for him. I had nothing for him. But Rich brought stuff for us.
It's kind of like me showing up without wine today.
Rich has a little side business he does, which he calls Rich's Really Cool Notebooks. And what Rich does is he goes around to garage sales and flea markets and, you know, used junk sales. And he will buy up old albums and especially old VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. People are just trying to get rid of that stuff. Rich takes the covers from those old VHS tapes, and I think he does this with vinyl sometimes too. He'll use the album covers. He'll take those VHS tapes and turn the covers into notebooks.
That?
He adds paper and binds them, spiral binds them, and wow. makes these beautiful notebooks just using the actual videotape covers.
How clever.
And when we met Rich for brunch, he brought this one for Felicity, for the mayor, because Felicity's a fan of Velvet Goldmine, the movie. And this is a notebook from Rich's Really Cool Notebook. made out of a Velvet Goldmine VHS cover.
Yeah, it looks like a VHS tape, but it's a
Doesn't it look mine. Cool?
It's a notebook.
It looks like a real thing that somebody made, and I guess that's what it is.
Yes.
But very nicely done. It's a beautiful little notebook.
It says dazzling.
That's the Los Angeles Times. It calls Velvet Goldmine dazzling. Now, that's nice. That's fine. Look at the one he gave me, though. Here's your winner.
Flash Gordon!
This is the 1980 Flash Gordon movie, a beautiful Flash Gordon notebook, which Rich made out of a VHS Flash Gordon cover. And I love this so much. Isn't
Could
that gorgeous?
Could there be anything more perfect?
I'm afraid to write anything in it. I don't think I have anything worthy of putting in this notebook, because it's just gorgeous. Big picture of Ming the Merciless on the front, and there's Flash and Dale.
If you were to put anything in the notebook...
Yeah, what should we put in this?
You could do... Well, you're a bit of an artist yourself.
That's true.
So you could draw in it.
Yep. But only draw Flash Gordon-related things?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's not lined. The pages, exactly. The pages are completely blank. So this could work as a lovely sketch pad.
Why I think of pictures. Our friend... You know our friend Janice? She goes by Janny.
Yeah.
So Janny often has a notebook with her, and with people that she meets, she'll have a theme for that notebook, and she'll say, do you want to draw it? Like, she had one that was full of sheep. She'll give you a page and say, do you want to draw a sheep
Whenever
in my notebook?
Whenever she meets a sheep,
right,
she lets the sheep draw in her notebook.
Like, you could do that with capybaries.
That's true. They would love to draw in this Flash Gordon.
So you could bring that around to people you know and ask them if they want to draw on a page in your Flash Gordon book.
Can you please draw a capybary dressed like Flash Gordon?
Yes.
Because that's my dream.
That's what you want. And I think that would be perfect for the inside of that notebook.
I just realized two out of the three lead characters pictured on the front of this Flash Gordon notebook have been heard here on the Flopcast.
That's true.
Because we've had Sam Jones and Melody Anderson made little Flopcast IDs for us.
Both.
How about that? We haven't tracked down Max von Sydow yet. Ming the Merciless.
Give us time.
You know from Strange Brew. But anyway... Thank you so much to Rich for these beautiful VHS notebooks, and I recommend people check out Rich's really cool notebooks. There's a Facebook page for Rich's notebooks, and there's an Etsy store as well. Good stuff.
Neato.
Yeah. Wow, this is running long. We have a Chickens in the News, but maybe it should wait.
What? How can you do that?
Yeah, I hate to... The show is running longer than I expected, and I have a Chickens in the News item here, and I'm thinking let's hold off on it for another time.
So we're going to use that as bait to get our listeners to come back next week?
Yeah, now you have to come back next week.
Okay.
Possibly, for Chickens in the News.
And on that cliffhanger.
That shocking cliffhanger.
Oh,
we're ending the show on a question mark, the same way the Flash Gordon movie ends with a question mark. It was like the end, and then the question mark comes up. That's what we're doing here. Well, will there be next week a Flopcast episode 333, and will that episode contain a chicken?
Will our heroes encounter a chicken in the next Flopcast? Tune in next week to find out.
I think the answer to all these questions is yes. Cornflake, get us out of here, please.
Yeah, okay. Flopcast.net is our website. That's a place to find us on the internet. It's great. We're at facebook.com/flopcast2 and on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And also on Instagram @the_flopcast.
And one final plug, folks. Next week. Yikes, we're getting close. It's
so close.
Next week, Tuesday, September 25th. That is your one and probably, hopefully, only chance to see my new band... We are forming a band for one night only. The band is called After These Messages, and we are going to be performing nothing but TV theme songs all night. It's one magic night of TV theme songs performed live.
In other words, nothing but the songs you really want to hear.
These are the songs you know and love. It's Tuesday, September 25th. It's at a place called The Lasting Room. It's a pub in Haverhill, Massachusetts. So I hope you're near Haverhill, Massachusetts. Otherwise, you have a long journey. The same journey I took to see Electric Light Orchestra. People will be traveling far and wide, just the way I did.
I was going to say, do you think people are coming up from Philadelphia for this?
It's going to be mostly people from Philadelphia, I think, who are coming up. So now we're going to have to make sure we hit some Philadelphia theme songs, like Angie.
Of course.
The sitcom Angie that nobody remembers, that was set in Philadelphia. And so maybe we'll do the theme from Angie, but probably not. Even though I love it. It's going to be a magic night.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, even though I'm also slightly terrified.
Me a little less so.
We'll see how it goes. That's After These Messages is the band. I am part of said band, along with Ed and Mike and Carl. It's all TV themes all night. It's Tuesday, September 25th at the Lasting Room in Haverhill, Massachusetts, starting at 7 o'clock, I believe. See you there, and see you here next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassle Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassle Awesome a thing.
Nope.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right, we're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
Oh, hello.
That's right, We're not completely done here.
You must be here for the secret after show.
Well, look at you.
The part of the show that's only heard by people that make it through the promos.
Yes.
You did it. Welcome.
We are so proud.
To an exclusive group. Flopcast listeners in general are a very exclusive group.
It's true.
Secret after show Flopcast listeners, even more so.
Exclusive group. I love
we
how
might
you
be down
use
to
that.
Single digits at this point.
To describe us.
What do we have for this exclusive group this week? Maybe nothing. I have nothing. Do you have anything? That sounds like a no.
Well, I can give an update on my New Year's resolution.
Your movie project. That's a good idea. Where do we stand?
You were running around like crazy, taking care of things related to Dragon Con. And you would think, you know, Cornflake, you've got one job, and it's to watch a movie. And the movie for August was When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who's got two thumbs and needs to catch up in September?
Fell behind again. That's all right. This has been happening all year, but you catch up every time.
I do catch up every time.
So now the plan is still When Harry Met Sally. It's every month you're trying to see a movie that you should have seen a long time ago.
Yes.
That's your New Year's resolution. The plan was When Harry Met Sally for August.
August, which now needs to be bumped to September, but then I also
now,
need...
We need a September movie.
My September movie as well.
What's that going to be? Flash Gordon? To go with The Notebook?
I haven't seen Flash Gordon.
It's a classic. I love it.
I think that's what it needs to be.
We've spent so much time talking about it already. We have The Notebook right here.
And it's get that same character from Strange Brew. All right.
Max von Sydow from Strange Brew, yes, is in it. Maybe it's time for you to finally see Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon it is.
I know it. I love it. I've done convention panels about the movie specifically.
And it's time for me to get with the Flash Gordon times.
We could do this. We can make this happen. He'll save every one of us.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.